Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Whatever you pray of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. If you haven't caught it already, this Sunday is all about prayer. And behind your every prayer is your identity. The only way to confidently pray is to know who you are and how you relate to the one who hears your prayers and answers. Of course, you know that you ought not just pray to anyone, to any God. You know that you may ask anything of your Heavenly Father, because as Christ has told you today, you are his children. As dear children, you may boldly and confidently ask of him anything. You have full and complete access to your divine Father. As children know, everything that is their father's is theirs, to eat or to break or whatever. Just simply ask. You are even God's children by his own giving. No one can make themselves a child of the Father. You remember Nicodemus, who asked Jesus, "How is it possible for a man to be born again?" He is not your Sir Oliver Warbucks, and you, with your hard-knock life, pursue him and hope that he will choose you, or maybe in some way you can convince him to be your father. Instead, he has chosen you already, even before the foundation of the world. He gives, and you receive. He has given you the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, holy baptism. And in baptism, he gives you there a new life. Not only a life, but he puts his very own name on you. That's why you are called Christians, because you have been marked with the mark of Christ, with Jesus, the cross, on your forehead and on your heart. Everything that is his is yours. Everything that the Father's is yours, and so everything the Son has is yours as well. His blood for your atonement. His flesh is your clothing. His cross is your cross. His name is your own, Christian. All this is a gift to you from your giver, God. But some have been confused, and we need to be clear that you are God's child because he has redeemed you, not simply because he created you. To be created by God is to be his creature. But to be redeemed, to be bought back, to be purchased with his own son's blood, to be given that new birth in the font, that is how you are made God's child, adopted as sons in Christ himself. Only those who have been joined through baptism to Christ Jesus may be called God's children, rightly, because in him and in him only do we have access to the Father through the forgiveness of sins. It's precisely in that good news that Christ proclaims, the forgiveness of sins, that God has gathered you to himself. In Jesus alone does the Father give to you all that is his Son's, an eternal kingdom, a promised inheritance, eternal life. So it must be said that when we forget who we are in Christ, we thereby return to who we once were. That's one way to describe the Christian life, in the way of St. Paul in Romans, that we go back and forth between who we are in Christ Jesus, forgiven children of God, and who we once were, dead in sins and trespasses. This back and forth, this double existence, is nothing new. We heard something similar in Numbers about our forefathers who did the same. Remember, they are in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. God had chosen that nation, his Israel, to be his very people. He had redeemed them by the blood of the Passover lamb. He has defeated all their enemies as they were drowned in Red Sea waters. And he has promised to them, and he is delivering them into the land, flowing with milk and honey. But as we heard, the people became impatient on the way. They forgot who they were. And so they spoke against God and against his sent one, his prophet Moses. In effect, they were saying to God that they would prefer to return to their life as slaves. They preferred their life under that wicked tyrant, Pharaoh. They preferred to live in that foreign land. They preferred that land with all of its false gods and idols, with its rampant evil, even with the death of their male children. They forgot God's great mercy and steadfast love. They forgot who they were, the redeemed children of God, redeemed from bondage and slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt, a land of darkness and death. And here they are in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, and they forget. They grow impatient. They'd sell that new birthright for a pot of porridge, just like their forefather of old. And it was for this reason that God sent fiery serpents among them to judge them. He allowed them to live as they once did, to turn their back on him, to long for the days of Egypt. And there in the wilderness, they suffered pain, misery, and even death, as many of them were bitten by snakes and died. This is God, of course, teaching them that apart from him, apart from the good and giver God, there is no good thing, no grace, no mercy, no peace, no freedom, no healing, and no life. Those serpents, as they crawled around amongst their feet, snapping at their heels, was a reminder of who they once were. It was a call of sorts to repentance. That is, a call to return away from their sin and toward God, remembering their identity as children, redeemed. So it is that repentance is not simply calling sin what it is, but turning, returning, if you like, in confidence, trusting in God as dear children trust their dear father. That's why when we confessed our sins tonight, we didn't just say, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," but we also said, "Be gracious and merciful to me." We confessed our sin, to be sure, but then we turned to God in faith, in trust, holding him to his promise of grace and mercy. God calls us to repentance. He shows us the evil of our ways, sometimes suffering great hardship and difficulty. Not that we would turn inward, but that we would return to him and look upon him and trust in him. Or as we heard in Numbers, as the people of old did, they cried out to Moses to intercede on their behalf, saying, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against his servant." Whether it was the old wandering Israel or it is you, the new Israel, who wander and grow impatient and turn away from God, God is always sending fiery serpents of a sort amongst us to turn us back to him, to trust in him, in the mercy that has been revealed in the holy, innocent suffering and death of Christ Jesus. Jesus himself calls himself the serpent on the pole. When we look upon Christ, we see our forgiveness and our life. So it is that God's repentance always turns us back to look upon Jesus. And thereby we don't see simply death and condemnation, but we see our redemption, forgiveness, and life. Don't forget who you are. Because you are in Christ, because you have been baptized in his name, because you have been made children of God, you are a new creation. That old creation is gone, and the new has come. By your baptism, God the Father has given you new life. He promises you every good thing. These are his words for you, that promise. He will hear your prayers and answer them. And his words give what they say. They're not empty or powerless. When God speaks, he does what he says. He keeps his promises. You can hold him to that, which is what Christian prayer is. But again, the Christian life, as I said earlier, is one of a back and forth, forgetting and remembering death and resurrection, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So the people in the wilderness heard God's words. They were delivered safely, and then they forgot, and they refused to be and do what they had received. God said, "You are my people." And they said, "We'd rather be back under Pharaoh." God said, "I have redeemed you from bondage and death. Remember all the male children and their death." But they said, "Wasn't it nice in Egypt with those meat pots?" The Apostle James gives us an example. He shows us what this double existence looks like. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. A hearer and not a doer, he says, is like a man who observes himself, his natural face, in a mirror, and then goes away, and then immediately forgets what kind of man he saw in that mirror, who he is. A hearer and not a doer is the one who comes into the sanctuary of God, receives all of God's good gifts in Christ, hears what God is working to accomplish in and through him. He hears for a time, but then that word doesn't take root, and he turns away, and he forgets, and he turns back inward on himself and the old man, the old flesh. Forgets who he is in Christ and remains who he once was. But we are given a different sort of mirror, and this is the purpose of our gathering here tonight. Not simply to look in the mirror and see the natural man, but to look in the mirror of faith and to see in ourselves Christ Jesus. To see ourselves as one for whom Jesus has died and redeemed. He doesn't forget who he was, but he lives the life he was given, a life given to redeem you. When we look in the mirror, yes, we may see that natural man, perhaps a bit flawed, but God would have us see a baptized child of God, one redeemed in Christ's blood, to see Christ Jesus. Now, St. James calls this the perfect law of liberty. To see in Christ Jesus the perfect law of liberty. Not the law, the eternal law that we hear revealed by Moses on Mount Sinai, as we know it as the Ten Commandments. Not that law alone. For that law was given 430 years after the promise given to Abraham. 430 years later, given to show God's own people their sin, to reveal that sin and accuse us, and to show us what the wages of sin truly are, death. They weren't given chiefly that we would keep them. But in Christ Jesus, we see the perfect will of God, not only spoken and heard, but kept, done. He obeys his Father's will completely and perfectly in a way that none of us ever have or ever can. And because he obeyed the Father's will and also suffered every bit of chastisement, discipline for our peace, for our disobedience, we have received from him, by being joined to him, everything that he has won for us. Forgiveness. And with forgiveness is perfect obedience. His blood-bought atonement. When God looks upon us, he doesn't see one who sins daily. He sees one who is forgiven in Christ Jesus. He sees in us who have been joined to Christ, who remember who we are as baptized children, children who have kept the law perfectly, who obey him, who listen to him, who trust in him. And this is not only a perfect law, but it's a perfect law, as James says, of liberty. Christ, having kept the law, has freed us from that slavish obedience, that bondage to sin and death, has freed us to have faith toward God, not worrying whether we have satisfied him today or not, but simply trusting that we are his children and believing, receiving from him his every gift. Freed also then to love our neighbor, not worried about whether we've done it well enough or poorly, whether we've done too little or too much, but free to serve without accusation or judgment or condemnment. Again, we are to look tonight in the mirror, perhaps upon the cross as our mirror, and there to see ourselves. For we have been clothed in Christ and united with him in his death, united to the perfect, obedient Son of God. Everything that is ours. Yes, it's true that while we remain in this flesh, we will struggle with our sin. The new man in Christ wants nothing to do with disobedience. We will struggle to do what we know is right and to not do what we know is wrong. But essential in that struggle is not our effort, but rather our faith, which rests confidently in our identity, who we are in Christ. Again, that mark that was placed upon our foreheads and upon our heart to mark us as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Marked as one who has fulfilled the perfect law of liberty. This is given to us for our confidence, which is another way of saying faith, or trust, if you like. To be confident in our identity as children of God, as Christian. And as Christians then, with boldness and confidence, Luther instructs, we may pray. We may ask the Father. And even in that faith, we will know who to pray for, what to pray for, how to speak, when to be silent. Because this new identity is a change of heart. You aren't the same people you once were, even if you were a wee little child when you were baptized. You are in Christ. And thus, the old is gone and the new has come. You are God the Father's children in Jesus, purchased and won, chosen and adopted. Don't forget who you are. And God will keep you in this faith and his perfect love until he comes again. May God grant it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.